This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Logan Weber with me. He's filling in for Cody today. Cody on a snow day. He'll be back tomorrow. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 15 minutes. It relates to our whole fraud investigation yesterday that we had on the show. I filled in Logan the details, so he knows what I'm talking about. If you guys were listening to the 1 o'clock hour at any point yesterday, you probably have a good idea. Talking about, Troy. Yes, or Steve Bob, as we called him earlier in the show, but Troy and the fraud that the trash of the day relates to that again. It ties back in, I promise you. I think Logan's he's all about the story now too as well. I gave you the insight.
It's a wild one. The man is a journeyman, a modern day Forrest Gump, if you will.
That's right. That's exactly right. You guys can text in on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. So I'm sure we'll get other updates along the way until the middle of March, where we should know about Travis Kelce's future. But this is the first update we've really gotten, other from hearing from Kelce on New Heights podcast, where he was acknowledging that he's thinking through everything and needs some time. Diana Rossini was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday. Here's what she had to say about what she's hearing about Travis Kelce maybe leaning in a certain direction.
You know, I can tell you from just having a few conversations with people around the league over the last few days, there's definitely a sense that Travis is going to try to play more. I haven't heard anyone say, he's really struggling with what he wants to do. It's definitely leaning more towards that. That can, of course, change. This is going to be his decision only. But for this Chiefs operation looking to move forward here, I think they feel pretty good that Travis has got a little bit more left in him.
That's Diana Rossini, well-connected, well-respected, of course, in the NFL world. That's the first, really, report we've had since that video of anybody maybe, I'm not saying she talked to Kelce himself, but talked to people maybe around him or within the Chiefs organization and their belief. We said at the time of Kelce's comments, he clearly is considering retirement, obviously. But as time goes on and we get closer to the middle of March, I think the longer it goes on and we don't hear that he's made a decision to retire, of course, the better it gets. Like, you get out of -5 degree Kansas City for a little bit. You go to a beach somewhere. You enjoy the warm weather. Your body hopefully starting to feel a little bit better. The sting of the loss, I'm not saying it ever goes away, but hopefully, you know, it lessens a little bit. And then you say, man, I don't want to go out that way. I want to be with my guys, all this kind of stuff. Hearing that, and then as time goes on, I think we'll end up seeing Travis Kelce come back. But that was an update from Diana Rossini on Travis Kelce and maybe what he's thinking at this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's none of us can get inside the mind of a player like Travis, but you know, you can look back at previous instances of him talking about his career and, you know, when he wants to get out of the sport. We know that he's got a plan once his time is done. That has become very, very obvious. He's become a very popular man in television and things nowadays, but Travis has always talked like a guy who was, and he said it. I mean, he has said verbatim that he's ready to play the game of football until the wheels fall off. I mean, that is the way that he's described it. this season did not look like a man who had the wheels falling off, right? Is he the same player he was 5 years ago? No, he's a little bit slower. He's a little bit heavier, right? He's maybe a little bit less prepared for the bumps and bruises and the knocks that come with playing in the National Football League. But he's certainly still a very serviceable player in the National Football League. I think he's still a top 10 tight end in this league. Is he the best tight end in football? Maybe not anymore, but that's not to say that he still can't play this game and play it at a very high level. I think, yeah, he was incredible when he needed to be, and when he wasn't asked to be, I think that that was a benefit to him. The Chiefs shouldn't look at him as the number one weapon on this offense anymore, and he shouldn't look at himself as the number one weapon anymore. If he can come to grips with that, then he should have no problem coming out next year and being incredibly successful again.
I think any great athlete, one of the challenges, of course, recognizing that, hey, you're no longer the exact same player that you once were and everything, and that's true. But I also think last year he already expected that to be the case, and then Rashee Rice gets hurt, and all of a sudden he's forced to be the number one option in the offense again. And that's why the targets were way up. I actually think fairly early on, we've discussed this, if it wasn't for the Rice injury, I think Travis Kelce would have been like the third option, second option in this offense for a bulk of the season. But ultimately, injuries happen, and they leaned on the guy that's been the best tight end in NFL history. I understand it. So I'm not worried about, like, his decision, it to me will not just be like, oh, I don't know if I want to be the third option. I think he was already maybe accepting of that going into last season. Remember, if we're being honest with the contract that he signed, when he signed that 2-year extension, I think most people thought, oh, okay, well, now we know he's going to play out these 2 years, and then that's it. And then as the season went on, because the yards per catch were only like 8 yards or so, which was certainly a drop off from where he had been, everybody just now like started talking more and more about retirement, because the more and more the relationship with Taylor Swift got serious, I think, and everything like that. But what happened to, I don't know, 7 months ago when everybody was like, oh, well, yeah, he's going to finish out the final 2 years, then magically, like, everybody just assumed that maybe he's going to be done. That to me was a national narrative that was created a little bit. And then when the Super Bowl happens and you don't three-peat and your team gets beat up the way they did, I think it's less likely for him to retire because of that performance. Now, the text line is alluding to the contract in the financials. I've said this. If he comes back, I don't think he can come back at $19 million. And that means adding an additional year or converting some money. I don't think that cap hit can be $19 million. If Travis Kelce is going to be the third option in this offense or fourth for his final year, because I think no doubt it would be his final year at that point, it can't be a $19 million cap hit.
No, without question.
Which is what it is right now.
Right. And I don't know. I mean, if this is Travis's last year, I don't know how you put an extra year on it and convert some of that money over. That would be a question. It's fascinating to me because, you know, I feel like a lot of people, myself included, have forgotten about, you know, during media week at the Super Bowl where he's like, well, I hope I can play 2 or 3 more years. And then they lose the game and everybody kind of takes a step back. And you're right. There's always going to be a narrative that follows around this situation. I mean, it feels, and a lot of it is derived from national media and people that are tired of watching the Chiefs win, I think, in a lot of respects. You know, last year it was, oh, is Andy Reid going to hang it up or blah, 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 blah. No, this might be it for Travis or this or that and the other. It's wishful thinking on the part of many, I think. I have always said that I felt like Travis was going to come back. And you're right, that $19 million is a lot. And if you can find a way to navigate that in a way that it is less taxing on the team's overall salary cap, that's great. I think for his production and his years of service, and maybe this is just me being an unabashed Chiefs fan, but I don't want to take money away from the guy, honestly, for what he's provided and what he was for the bulk of his career and how wildly underpaid he was for a good chunk of that.
But you don't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like you can, as you point, I mean, you can lower the cap hit without,
yeah, convert it into
money,
a roster bonus or performance incentives.
And my
or whatever.
Guess is if there was a player, ownership would be willing to have to pony up some cash, straight cash early to convert that Clark Hunt. This is a player that you know, you're talking about the greatest tight end of NFL history.
Yeah, he's earned it.
Someone that's, yeah, I mean, a legend in this town and all of that. He's earned the right to come back, which is why I thought it was crazy. I don't know if you guys saw Ian Rappaport put out last night notable cut candidates across the NFL. Do you know who they listed as one? Obviously, I bring it up so you guys know the answer now, but Travis Kelce. Here was the I think it's ridiculous. It mentions, of course, the cap savings, right? If they cut him, 17.3. Here's the thing. Travis Kelce's either not playing football or he's playing for the Kansas City Chiefs in his final year.
Exactly.
That is it. Like the last sentence kind of made me laugh out loud in this article. It said, "This would be crazy, but Kansas City is split with legendary tight ends amid solid production before. See Tony Gonzalez." Totally different circumstance. I mean, one, for starters, Tony Gonzalez was not considering retiring at that time. They also traded him. So they didn't cut him. They traded him to the Atlanta.
They weren't winning.
They weren't winning, okay? That was also a different general manager and a different head coach, and they weren't in the middle of a dynasty. That example sucks. Like, that's a bad comparison. It really does. It's a terrible comp.
Yeah, it's a non-starter. None of that applies. I think, you know, Tony might have been a little bit. I mean, they might have been around the same age.
I thought Tony was like 31 or 32, yeah. But he wasn't considering retirement. He just wanted to get to the playoffs and win a ring.
Yeah, he wanted to go win. And you're right. The fact that it's a trade versus a cut makes this conversation moot right off the bat. What Travis has provided the franchise in terms of winning, what he's provided Mahomes.
33. He was 33.
33. Okay, so he's a little bit younger than Travis is now. Yeah, I don't think that comparison is applicable at all. In any sense of the word, it doesn't apply because Travis has won 3 Super Bowls as the number one weapon. The quarterback, the franchise player, the face of the league is the guy's best friend. He has a absolutely stout relationship with the front office and with the ownership group and his relationship with Andy. He will retire before they cut him.
Of course.
No question.
There's no scenario where if he's playing football still, he's not playing for the Chiefs. So it's retirement or he comes back to Kansas City. That article I saw last night was ridiculous to suggest that he's a cut candidate. And that's why I bring up the $19 million cap hit, though. I do think there has to be some work on that if and when he comes back. But Diana Rossini maybe making you feel a little bit better if you're a Chiefs fan that wants Travis Kelce back in a Chiefs uniform moving forward. And I was talking about this with CDOT, too. I was on his national show he was doing this morning. We were discussing. It's very rare in the NFL, though, to have a player go into a season where we all know it's his last one. Like, if he comes back, we'll know that next year is it. Like, that'll clearly be it. And you don't get that in the NFL. Like, you don't get the... It's one thing to write off in the sunset. That's rare. But even going in a season where you just know a star player is done at the end of that year, that doesn't really happen. Like Tom Brady to a certain extent, but he came back one more year after winning the ring. And maybe we thought it was over there, but typically you don't have almost like a, you know, I joke because I think there's been MLB players that have gotten like gift baskets every city they go to when they're retiring in their final year. Like you don't see that in the NFL all that often. All right, coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll get to the trash of the day here on Cody and Gold. I want to talk about the Royals briefly. Spring training going on. Vern's going to check in from Surprise coming up at 12:45. We'll discuss a little bit about something that I know intrigues you as well, which is what they're going to be testing during spring training. And that is the automated strike zone with these robot umps and what that could look like in Vern's mind on Friday when the Royals have their first spring training game. But John Sherman was out there a couple days ago talking to the media about the stadium front. We didn't get to this yesterday. We ran out of time, but this was his update. And I'll be honest, if we want to call it an update on where things stand with their future home in Kansas City.
I think this is going to be a very exciting thing for our community, right? It's about economic development. It's also about securing the long-term home for the Royals. We're working very hard. And, you know, we got a deal that's buttoned up and we're ready to talk about it. We're looking forward to being able to do that.
That was from Fox 4, as I said. Not basically like, well, we're excited to announce the deal when we have the deal is essentially what he said. But I do think we have to be closer than ever. We're all sick of talking about this thing. We don't have to go through all the different missteps along the way from multiple parties involved. But it does feel like knowing that the Royals, out of the two organizations there at the Truman Sports Complex, they have said that when our lease is up, like, we're out. Like, we're done. No matter what, one way or the other, we're not playing at Kauffman. We all know that is a fact. That is the case. So we do a timeline. Like, you don't have to be in construction to understand it takes some time for you know, to break ground, to do land testing and all environmental testing and all these kind of things. Like, they have to figure this out soon. I think we're 2.5 months from finding out, max, where the Royals are playing and whether or not that's the downtown site there. What is that, Washington Park? Or it's the two sites that people have been floating out there on the Kansas side.
Yeah, this is taking a look at the numbers. The Royals have said time and time again that they want to have a new stadium set to go by opening day of 2028. They've said that over and over again. If you look at the most recent stadiums that have been built in Major League Baseball, they've typically taken anywhere between 30 and 36 months to build. So opening day of 2028 is 3 years away. I mean, you're right now sitting at 37, almost 38 months away. So if 30 to 32 months is the goal to get this thing built, you got to start now. And the decision, I agree with you wholeheartedly, will be made by the time we reach, you know, maybe June.
Yeah,
I would say, and June might be pushing it, I would say.
And look, the 2028 thing, I think that's already off the table though, man.
Yeah, like, I agree.
That was we're now in 2025. In 2023, that was their target. Like, in 2023, their target was that 2028. Now, I think it's just, you got to get it done before the lease ends in 2030. I mean, honestly, I think that's where you're at this point. I already think the 2028 thing is kind of off the table just because of everything that still has to happen. Now, maybe if the vote would have passed last April, then I think I'd be on board a little bit more with that timeline, man. I think people are just fed up with it. I will say there was a report this morning from, I believe it was it 97.1? Was it 97.1 here locally? Drew, we were looking at this before the show, and that's going to drive me crazy here locally.
I can't remember.
That was reporting on some stadium news that they were reporting that perhaps there was some land that was on hold in Kansas for the Chiefs, which I think we've all talked about this enough at this point in time that if the Chiefs go to Kansas, I think we know where that site's going to be. Like, that's not necessarily shocking to anybody. Like, if the Chiefs end up on the Kansas side, we know it's probably the Legends area, so it makes sense. But I think both these teams this spring and summer, have to make a decision. And I don't think we're going to see a public vote again for either of these to make it happen. Maybe if the Chiefs stay in Missouri, but the Royals, one way or the other, are not going back to a public vote. That's over.
No, it's unfortunate. I am of the opinion that I think if it would have been handled in a much more open and honest way, that it may have voted. It may have, you know, gone through in terms of the voting last April. I felt that it was a rushed decision, as I'm sure many do, right? We kept getting renderings of a Royal Stadium that kept changing constantly. It felt like every 2 months we were getting a new stadium rendering, and every 4 or 5 months we were getting a different location or, you know, potential spot for the ballpark. And it's downtown, it's West Bottoms, it's in Platte County. We're going to go to North Kansas City with it. And okay, you know, folks, can we just like pick one? It's hard to vote on what you guys want to do when we have no idea what you want to do. And then after the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, they get thrown into the realm of things kind of late. And I know the Chiefs have continued to express willingness to stay at Arrowhead. I know that they love the Arrowhead location. They love the vibe and the ambiance that it brings. I would love to say, and this is just me speaking personally, I'm a little bit biased, right? You and I are very different in this aspect, Alex, because you grew up on the Kansas side. I grew up on the Missouri side. So I would love to see them stay on the Missouri side. But
this might surprise you, though. This is the first time we've hosted together. I've said, you're right, where I've grown up and where I currently reside is Kansas. But it's funny to me the discussion with folks on the Missouri side about maybe leaving Missouri and acting like they're like just never going to root for the team again or whatever. That's a select few, and I know that's not what you're saying.
No.
But the reality is, my entire life, I've gone to Missouri for Royals and Chiefs games, and I've had no problem. I've done that my entire life. And if one of the teams happened to be in Kansas, great. And I still think one of them are going to end up in Kansas, as a matter of fact. I don't know if both will, but I think one of them will. And so, yeah, I get, like, would I be happy if one did? Sure. But, like, this idea of, like, oh, my gosh, it's the end of the world if one moves. I've gone to Missouri every single... I've had no problem spending a few dollars at the Truman Sports Complex my entire life, you know? So, no, like, if you're asking my preference, I have just been consistent that I don't think it's worth renovating Arrowhead, as much as I love it. It's the first stadium I ever walked into. My family had season tickets as a kid. Like, great memories there. Unbelievable atmosphere. But if you're going to put in $500 million for a renovation or more, I think, why are you not looking at building a brand new stadium? And if you're going to build a brand new stadium, I think that is Kansas. And by the way, it's 95.7 FM today that was reporting that there's land on hold in Kansas for the Chiefs. That's where that report came from. We'll get back to stadium conversation a little bit later on in the show, but let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, so this is piggybacking off of yesterday's fraud Troy thing involving faking that you're on a plane crash and then that you're also the special assistant to the Royals GM, that you're also a former Chiefs player. That was a whole real thing. Check the podcast if you missed it yesterday. So the update is, you guys may have seen that, unfortunately, with the Delta Airlines flight that crashed, 80 people, thank goodness, survived the incident. But they said that they will be giving $30,000 to every passenger who was on board that flight that flipped upside down. A spokesperson for Delta told Business Insider that the gesture has no strings attached and does not affect rights. They claim that you can get your $30,000 and you can still sue their ass. That's what they're saying. The $30,000 advance payment offered by Delta is a good start in the right direction, as long as passengers do not have to give up any of their rights for full and fair compensation, said an aviation accident attorney out of Seattle. He is, of course, taking passenger cases from the Delta flight. Look, if there's no strings attached, well, then why wouldn't you take the $30,000? You were in a traumatic experience. You suffered it through a traumatic experience, and then I'm still suing, right?
Oh, dude,
because
no
$30,000 is not enough for me to be upside down in a plane on fire.
No,
not whether I walked out or not. Not enough. I'm sure Troy is going to tell us that he's getting paid $100,000 before anything. I'm sure that's his story as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, you applaud, like, the gesture of good faith, I guess, is like, hey, man,
yeah,
we messed up, hand in the air, you know, sort of like, this is my bad, right? You know, quarterback throws a pick, my bad sort of thing. This isn't necessarily, like, my bad situation. Like, you could have killed these people. Like, this plane was upside down. Like, there was a catastrophic failure on several counts in regards to this case. So, yeah, you pay out the $30,000. I don't know if there's a thought process that, like, some good Samaritan may now be unwilling to sue you because you gave them $30,000. I just don't understand the thought process at all. I don't know if it's like, yeah, there, no paperwork attached until you come and get the money, and then they're going to slide that $30,000 check underneath an NDA for you to have to sign before you'll get that money. And I don't know.
The attorney
kinda strange
said that,
to see it.
The attorney said that the Delta payout's not taxable under U.S. law, so you don't have to pay taxes on it. I don't know if there's just a PR thing, but, like, if you know you're going to pay out all this money, you're going to end up getting sued still. It's kind of interesting. People said they want to hear more about our local Forrest Gump today. Troy in Minnesota, no updates today on this other than people suggesting that they offered him $100,000, but he turned it down because he's such a nice guy. That's right. That'll be the new post. I wanted to message him on Twitter or on Facebook, I'm sorry, and be like, hey, so you gonna accept the $30,000 offer, just to get his perspective. We need to send Drew just to do a prank call off air. We can't do it live on the air for FCC reasons, but we need you to call him off air. Tell him, hey, by the way, this is being recorded. Let him know. You got to tell him you're recording it, and then let us know his answer.
The guy, I've heard of people being, like, in your private life to be, like, a pathological liar, like little white lies to make yourself seem more impressive than you really are. But to do it so publicly via social media is one of the most wild things I've ever heard. It's like compared to, and I can't remember the guy's name, but there was a kid a few years ago that was, like, a high school senior that had committed to, like, the University of Colorado or something, like, on National Signing Day, and, like, signed this letter of intent only for the University of Colorado to come out later and say, we've never heard of this guy ever. Like, he had this massive offer list, like, actual recruiting publications were following his story, and they're like, we don't know who this guy is. We did not offer this man a scholarship. He is not enrolling at the University of Colorado. It's wild. Just insane levels of pathological lying to make yourself seem cooler than you are.
The plane crash one, though, is like, you know,
that's
saying you're part
deplorable.
Of, you know, that one's sick. Now, and then we went down the road. Someone else says they think Troy is playing in the hockey game tonight. That's right. We'll find out that he actually played for USA Hockey. Yeah, someone says take the 30 grand and this go hire a great lawyer with the 30 grand, basically. Mm. Someone says there's a third option, guys. Just don't sue. Look, man, it sounds like the early reporting suggests that it was Delta/Pilot Air. Sorry, man. If I'm in a plane upside down and on fire and I'm lucky enough to walk out, sorry, I'm suing.
Yeah, like, you're getting sued.
Sorry, if it was negligence. Sorry, like, I don't fault anybody for suing. Again, let me say that again. Upside down in a plane on fire. Something went wrong. That's the trash of the day. If you want to listen to the Troy story, 1 o'clock hour yesterday. Wait till after the show, you know? But 1 o'clock hour, Odyssey podcast. Drew has it up there. It might even be labeled The Gear. I don't know. That's the guy's nickname.
I think the hour's labeled Fraud Alert.
Fraud Alert works too. All right, up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red half hour. Could the Chiefs be playing internationally again, and which game could it be?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
That's right. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Thanks for hanging out with us here on a Thursday. It's Alex Gold. Logan Weber is filling in for Cody today. Drew Nixon producing the show. We'll get back to some Royals baseball with Josh Vernier about an hour from now. Get his perspective. I know today the Royals, some minor stuff they announced. They moved a few guys to different games at spring training. It's not the end of the world, but Friday's the opener, and now Chandler Champlain looks like is going to move to Saturday's game. Some stuff like that. We'll also get what else he has noticed from some of the young guys there at spring training, because as Vern told us yesterday, pitching-wise, pitching's kind of set. Like, there's really not, you're not really dealing with a ton of competition at the pitching spot necessarily with the top-level guys. But a good experience for some of the young players, and again, Vern's got his hot stove show tonight. But Logan, I wanted to talk about where the Chiefs' schedule could turn a little bit next year, because we've known the opponents for a while. We'll find out in May exactly when and what network and all that kind of stuff. But yesterday there was the international news that the LA Chargers are going to open up on that Friday. So the Thursday night game is going to be Philly against somebody. Last year, the Friday game was the Eagles and Packers in Sao Paulo, Brazil. This go around, the Chargers are going to be playing also in Brazil. So naturally it's a divisional opponent. So duh, there's a chance the Chiefs could be one of those teams. I think the Chiefs might be playing internationally next year, but maybe more as a host than it is on the road. You go back at these international games, a majority, I'm not going to say it's never happened, a majority of them are not divisional games. That's usually not how this goes. We know when the Chiefs played in Germany, it was against the Dolphins. It wasn't a divisional game. You know that last year, I just mentioned the Brazil game, that was Packers-Eagles, not a divisional game. Usually it's the Jags against like the Patriots, not a divisional game. Like, I think the majority of the time these have been non-divisional. Usually they don't want to move a divisional game away from a team. You know, like if you're the Chargers, you don't want to lose a home divisional game. It's one thing to lose a home game. So I know there's been discussion about the Chiefs being that Friday night game because it's Friday night and it opens the season and everything. I kind of disagree, man. I would be very surprised if the Chiefs are going to Brazil to play the Chargers because it's a divisional game.
Oh, no question. That early on in the year, it's very, very rare. You usually see, you know, the typically for the Chiefs in the last few years, you know, the upper echelon, you know, most high profile teams in the league will play other high profile teams, right? Like this past season, they played the Ravens week one. The season prior to that, they played the Detroit Lions. So who's to say they won't play the Eagles week one or the Niners week one or potentially the Buffalo Bills week one or the Bengals, right? Whatever it might be. I understand the desire for many the thought process behind, well, why not the Chiefs? Because like you said, it's an AFC West rival of theirs. The Chargers are going to be a very competitive football team next year. They were great this past season, and they have a very real shot at being able to pick up some big pieces in free agency this offseason, especially if they dump off Joey Bosa's contract and they can maybe re-sign Khalil Mack for the long term, what have you. Maybe go after T. Higgins if they so choose. I think that the biggest reason why I think the Chiefs rise to the fore outside of being an AFC West opponent for the Chargers is that, let's face it, from a rating standpoint, they are America's team right now. No team in the NFL generates a larger TV watching crowd than the Kansas City Chiefs do. And to put them in a situation there where they are the NFL's most polarizing team today, for whether you like them or not, they're wildly popular for that exact reason, because you either love them or hate them. To put them in a game like that to open up the season in a foreign country makes a lot of sense to continue to try to spread the NFL and the game of American football across the world. But I agree with you. I don't see a division rivalry working in that sense. But I mean,
the NFL has put the Chiefs everywhere else. So I understand where everybody's at. I went back and looked. I'm not going to read through every single one, but they started playing international games in 2005. The NFL did. And that was a divisional game. As I said, I'm not saying there's never been an international divisional game, but a majority of these are not. Colts, Patriots, and even go back to 2023, right? That was not a divisional game. Dolphins, Chiefs, I referenced. Ravens, Titans, Jags, Bills, Falcons, Jaguars. Stop me when you get to a divisional game. Seahawks, Buccaneers. The last one was, once again, 49ers, Cardinals in Mexico. Broncos, Jags, Giants, Packers, Vikings, Saints, Dolphins, Jags, Jets, Falcons. I can go on and on and on. A majority of these are not. The Chiefs played the Chargers internationally in 2019. That was the Mexico game that I think got moved because Shakira had a concert or something on the field. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
I believe that got moved, right, to L.A. last minute. I can't remember. Was it actually played in Mexico, or there were just concerns about the field? I can't remember the entire story, but that was one of, in the last, last 10-plus international games, two of them have been divisional. So it's just unlikely. If there was ever to be an outlier to what you were saying, yeah, it would be the Chiefs, because they put them in every single marquee slot possible. They have them on Christmas. They have them on Black Friday and all this kind of stuff. But I actually think it's more likely the Chiefs might be hosting a game in Germany next year, and they're not going to international games. So maybe if you find out that they're playing the Chargers on that Friday, well, then you know they're not hosting. I think if you look at the Chiefs' opponents next year, and it's actually a really good home schedule, too. It would suck to lose one of these. They get the Eagles at home, the Commanders at home, the Ravens at home next year. The Detroit Lions are scheduled to be at home next year. I would hate to lose one of those at Arrowhead. The Texans, again, it's a really strong 2025 home schedule for Kansas City. It's more likely, I think, that they're in Germany hosting a game than it is that Chargers one.
Oh, I agree. There's better options, I think, at their disposal there. I mean, to imagine a Super Bowl rematch in Germany next season. I mean, that's a massive draw for people. To bring Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes over to Europe to play that game makes a lot of sense. I don't necessarily think that there's as much intrigue if it is Mahomes against Justin Herbert and the Chargers, who he has notoriously been wildly successful against, and the Chiefs have been wildly successful against for pretty much the entire length of Andy Reid's tenure in Kansas City, and especially once Mahomes was put in as the starting quarterback of this team. It's a game that means a lot to the Chiefs and the Chargers, but I don't think it has enough pull nationally or internationally to warrant a game of that magnitude in Brazil or Germany.
My reasoning is not that it's not an interesting matchup. It's just the fact that it is a divisional matchup. Like I think the intrigue, remember, it's a Friday night. We just had a game on a Thursday. Everybody's watching that Friday night game. Yeah. Because by that time, people are football starved. Like college football would have just got underway week zero, or whatever it is. K-State opens that one up. But as far as the NFL goes, the Packers-Eagles game, I don't know the exact number on that one. I don't have that in front of me, the ratings. We could look it up in 2 seconds, I'm sure. But that game on a Friday, even if it's a Friday night, people are watching. It could be the Jags and Titans, and people are watching a Friday night game after not having football for 5 months or 6 months, I think, right? So we'll see. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's a 0% chance that the Chiefs are in Brazil against the Chargers. I just think it's really unlikely because of the divisional aspect. So who could it be? You look at the Chargers' schedule. Of course, any of the divisional teams, we know that. Then their home schedule, somewhat similar to Kansas City with some of the opponents. The Chargers would have the Commanders at home, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Houston, Indianapolis. Those are potentials. Wouldn't you look at the chance? I could argue the Commanders going to Brazil and playing the Chargers that Friday night makes more sense. Put Jaden Daniels, who's the up-and-coming star of the league, had a great best rookie season we've ever seen from a quarterback. They're not a divisional game. Put the Commanders in Brazil on Friday night and have them go play against the Chargers. That, to me, is the matchup.
That would be, I mean, on the surface, that's a great one because you've got two coaches who wildly exceeded expectations in year one of their respective franchises with Dan Quinn and Jim Harbaugh, both of whom who have long, illustrious careers in their own rights. They've coached in Super Bowls before. You've got young quarterbacks and Justin Herbert and Jaden Daniels. I think that that game makes a lot of sense because I think that those are two organizations that have wildly higher expectations this year than I think they even expected to have because of how much better they played above the expectation from a season ago. I would tune in to watch a game like that. And I'm not generally a person who will tune in and watch a random NFL game if the Chiefs aren't competing or if it's not a late season sort of divisional battle for, you know, fighting for a playoff spot or fighting for a division championship. But I would tune in to watch a matchup of that magnitude. Chargers and Commanders, two coaches who have proven they can win at the highest level. That would be a fascinating one for me.
Yeah, the international games, I mean, just every year they're adding more. This is not changing. We just kind of got to get used to it at this point in time. And I told you the people that it hurts the most are the season ticket holders. Yes, there's an extra home game, but still, if you end up losing one of those more, like I always joke, how many Chargers fans really are there because their stadium's full of opponents. But like, if you're a Chargers fan, you'd be mad to lose the Commanders one because it's Jaden Daniels. But
right.
At the same time, Commanders fans are going to take over your stadium if they're playing in October. So, I mean, honestly, you might be better off playing that thing internationally at this point in time. When's the last time your Bengals played internationally, Drew? I feel like I haven't seen them play internationally in years.
They played Joe Burrow's second season, or maybe it was his rookie year. I think they played the Jaguars. In London.
Oh, well, that would make Jags.
2019, it says they played the Rams in London.
So that's been a bit. This is 2025 now. That's been a bit. I feel like they're due.
I think that was Burrow's rookie year. But I think that's been some of the conversation. I don't know which one. There was one in particular that I think stood out in terms of conversation. This one actually would make some sense for the Bengals. I think it was one of those that was in London again.
Yeah, according to this article from Yahoo that came out a while back, if they don't get selected to play in an international game this year, they will absolutely play in one in 2027, according to the current CBA.
That might be the one in Australia.
Yeah, I mean, look, same thing applies to the Chiefs. If the Chiefs aren't playing internationally this year, I think they'll be playing internationally in 2026.
Do you think it's a lock because it's the Chiefs?
I don't think it's a lock because if the Chiefs don't play in one this year, then I think they're for sure like hosting in 2026.
Yeah, alternates.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's if it's not this year, then it pretty much locks them in to 2026 playing internationally. And we know they have offices in Germany. Like they've been all in on the push internationally. And when you have Patrick Mahomes and you've been the best team in the league for the last 5+ years, I understand Philly just won, but That's going to be something.
It'll be interesting to see the just the difference of travel and all that stuff from a week to week basis. How the teams that play in Australia do the following week compared to other teams, because you know it's not like it's just a general 6-hour difference. Where like right now it is in the middle of it's like 5 or 6 a.m. tomorrow in Australia. At the moment. So it's very interesting
we've talked about the timing travel. Stuff. Like, travel wise, sure, it's an adjustment and all that. From a viewership, it doesn't matter. They'll play the game at 8 o'clock our time or whatever vice for whatever the time zone
sure.
is. Like that, I'm not the time thing. They can make work.
They'll play 8 o'clock on Saturday night our time, and then but it'll be Sunday afternoon, and then they'll fly.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's going to be a new day. Like they'll relive Sunday all over again.
It's currently 5 a.m. in Australia. Tomorrow
on Friday,
so it's currently Friday, February 21st at 4:47 a.m.
Yeah,
so that almost 24 hours of time difference.
You assume that they'd get the bye week afterwards? Maybe?
Have to.
There's no way that they play again.
Yeah,
and that's
what they've been doing. I mean, the Chiefs when they played in Germany, even against the Dolphins, they had a bye right after that.
Yeah, and that's maybe my biggest caveat for this whole thing is I wish the NFL would do away with teams playing international games in back-to-back weeks, because we've seen that before. The Jaguars, I don't know if it was this past season or maybe two seasons
was,
ago,
yes.
who played back-to-back weeks internationally.
The Jags
internationally.
Like volunteer for,
yeah,
man.
And, I know.
The Jags, their owner is like, hey, we'll play it. Put us over there as much as you want.
I just, they ended up having to stay there over the course of literally almost two full weeks.
But that's the future. I will say this, is that's the if we want to go way, like, 15 years from now, maybe that's too far. I don't know. But if the league ever expands team wise and certainly expands schedule wise, we are headed, I think, where every team will play international games every year. Like, I don't think that's going to be crazy. It sounds nuts now, but in the next 10 to 20 years, I think every team will be playing two international games every year. We'll have double buys. We'll have all, like, I think that is where this thing is trending. I understand we would all like to just go back to the play 16 games, no international games, but that's just not where the money is. And clearly there's no stopping the train that everybody's on.
I mean,
at
yeah,
this
so
point
much so that Roger Goodell's like, yeah, we're going to have an international Super Bowl. Probably like this is something
you
that
know,
we're
my opinion,
looking
I hate
to.
That. I think that's
I think
terrible.
A lot of people
that's
don't
the
like
one thing,
it.
Man, you don't move the Super Bowl to another country. I'm sorry. Like this, like you just don't do that. You don't the, I know there's not a championship game in the Premier League, but like if there was, they're not moving the Premier League final to New York City. They're just not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl is already so completely inaccessible for the masses, and now you're going to move it to a different country where it becomes completely inaccessible for the
and
masses.
To that point, some people might say, "Well, why does it matter? Because I can't go anyway." The country's biggest sporting event it's obviously America's game. I know baseball pastime, but I'm sorry, the NFL's America's game. Yeah. Right, the numbers, everything back it up. You don't move the game for that league. Internationally, you can move all the regular season games you want and all that. You don't move the game. That would be, and you're right, Drew. The commissioner has said that that's probably going to happen in the future. I think that'd be a terrible decision.
Yeah, it seems like the consensus, I don't know from the, I think they asked some players that actually as well. The fan consensus is, why would you?
I bet Troy will make
that?
A trip out internationally, though, Drew.
Hey,
I bet he'll make it international.
He's going to be on Radio Row or whatever they want to call it in.
It'll still be Media Row. Why would they call something different? It'll still be Media Row.
I have no idea. I know that Premier League games, they've talked about having Premier League games in the States. And
they probably are pissed about it over there,
fans
too.
Fans do not like it. Yeah.
Are regular games.
Well, the owner of Bournemouth, who is an American, said, let's not do that.
Yeah, I just think there's some things you just, you know.
Keep it where
it's
it
fine.
Is.
Baseball plays international games. I think they're opening up the Dodgers and...
In Tokyo.
Oh, I think that's right.
The Dodgers and Padres were their last year. I think
also,
it's somebody else.
Major League Baseball's got 162 games of inventory. If they want to move 20 games internationally, I'm cool with that. Like that's not a big deal to me. Anyway, that's just a little update on the international stuff here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Back to the off-season situation for Kansas City. We know that the cap kind of ties back into the international games happening, more money. The NFL announced that the cap is going to go up potentially as much as $281.5 million, get to that mark, I should say, right? In the range of $277.5 million. This past year was $255.5 million. So it could go up over $53 million over a two-year period, which is great for the players, first and foremost. And yes, it provides you with some more flexibility, but that means the free agent cost goes up. And that's the one thing that, it sounds simple, but it's amazing how every time this happens every year, they're like, well, now the Chiefs can keep blank player. I mean, yes, but that also means that, let's just use Tennessee, they also have more money to pay Trey Smith, or the Bears have more money to pay Trey Smith. So yes, it means that they're not right up against the cap as much, but when they build their roster, Brett Veach in the front office, they have a spreadsheet looking into the future. Like they project what they think the cap is going to be in 2027 or 2028. So they're not caught off guard by this.
No, and the way you put it is the right one, and that, yeah, the Chiefs now have more money to, you know, they have enough money now where they can pay Trey Smith what the market value is for a guard of his caliber. But now, if you're the Tennessee Titans or the Raiders, or I know the Los Angeles Chargers or the Bears have been two teams that have been pretty closely linked, they can now pay above market value. They could go on the verge of overpaying for a player like Trey Smith just to pull him from Kansas City. So it's not this big grand thing for the Chiefs, I think, and being able to keep guys around. And you're right, it's the nobody benefits more from this than the players. I mean, look at what the NBA has become year after year. I mean, remember that contract Timofey Mozgov signed after the Cavaliers won that championship?
At the time, it was a diabolically bad contract.
That was insane. They were paying him $20+ million. Timofey Mozgov, who's like a career 3-4 guy. That's where that's what's happening across the NFL now, is players who 5 years ago may have potentially been making $3 or $4 million. They might be closer to the $7 or $8 million range now. And for a guy like Trey Smith, who may have been $20 or $21 million in this market, now with this big salary cap push, he could be closer to $23 or $24 and may become the highest paid guard in the history of football.
Well, and if you look at it too, now, I know, you know, we referenced the Bengals and stuff, but I think even with the Chiefs, and you could say Trent McDuffie to a certain standard, of the cap increases so much every year where you're better off paying that star player as soon as you can, as soon as you're willing to, instead of just waiting. Of course, we've seen it more the year before, the final year of the contract, just to try to get it done, because the money differences and the increase, where if you were to pay, if they pay Trent McDuffie, even let's say top corner dollar, he's not going to get like top corner, but he's going to be in the range of Pat Surtain and everybody else who's up there. If they pay him that now, the cap will increase again. Not only will the market reset for the position, but the cap increases so much where if Trent McDuffie goes out and has another outstanding all-pro season, you're getting a bargain for what you already pay. You're already getting a bargain a year into the deal instead of having to wait an extra year or two for that cap to increase even more. That's how much of a difference it makes, where like the Bengals with Ja'Marr Chase, for instance, they had paid him last year. He had such a good year, where the cap increasing this year, it creates a bargain. You're already in a bargain for one of the best players at their position. So that's
the deals that are already established for sure.
So the Chiefs getting McDuffie done in terms of the cap increasing could be huge when we look at back at it in a year from now, or even 2 years from now, how much of a steal they're getting, essentially.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And it also, if you are a team that got a big deal done just last year, you know, this is, you gave the examples of multiple players, Drew. This was the whole like argument I think we had back in September on the Ja'Marr Chase thing. I mean, that was exactly it. It was like, man, you screwed. We had this Micah Parsons discussion earlier in the show. Yeah. It's like the Cowboys wait till the last minute, you know, and all of a sudden the dollar amount goes way up.
You lose money by doing it, yeah.
So while the open market, the cap doesn't change too much for that, because those players will still get top dollar and the dollar amount goes up. Absolutely. It means, it's why quarterback deals, and why Mahomes is not the highest paid quarterback in the NFL currently, because as time goes on, it's why Derek Carr for 3 months was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL many years ago. For 3 months. It's why Brock Purdy might be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL for like a year, maybe, depending on how that plays out. $60 million a year, man. I think it's going to happen.
Oh, it wouldn't shock me at all, and I think the Niners would be foolish not to do it. It's the NFL and its growing popularity and the growing revenue. The new TV deal has affected so much. The market is never the market for long. We talk about, oh, the market reset. I don't know if it ever set itself. I mean, it changes so consistently and so wildly that you can never say that we have a salary cap market, or always reset the market at guard. Okay, that market was set 3 days ago. So obviously there's something that's not working here.
He's Logan Weber. He's filling in for Cody Tapp. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you here on Cody and Gold. Up next, we'll get to what's trending. There's some breaking news in sports. We'll fill you in on what that is. Plus, get back into college basketball. Missouri with another top five win. The bar has to be raised for what they do in the tournament. We'll tell you about that next.